experienced in the storm drain system. What he saw, what he heard, what he smelled. How apparently, without a light source, he'd splashed more than 3 miles upstream. Did clues of his escape route remain? Could he hear the police dogs barking overhead, the sirens screaming? I also wondered what lurked beneath Las Vegas. Roman law forced Jews and Christians into a maze of catacombs. When surveyed by Pierre-Emmanuel Bruneseau and his staff in the early 1800s, the sewers of Paris yielded gold, jewels, and relics of the Revolution. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, a slave trade thrived in underground chambers along Portland, Oregon's waterfront. And thousands of people lived in the subway and train tunnels in New York City in the 1980s and 90s. What secrets did the storm drains of Las Vegas keep? What discoveries waited in the dark? What was behind the black curtains? Shuffling toward the north tunnel of the drain, I imagined Weber slamming into the fence and climbing it frantically. He balanced on the edge of the ditch, feeling for rungs with a foot. A splash broke the silence. Kicking through the stream in plastic bags, styrofoam cups, and aluminum cans, he disappeared into the darkness. I pressed play and record, snapped on the flashlight, and followed him. The temperature dropped at least 25 degrees, and the beam of the flashlight died in the semi-darkness. I began up a corrugated slope, which was designed to slow the flow of water, eyes adjusting and goosebumps rising on my neck. The fear was justified, I thought. Crack addicts assault each other on the streets. Armed bandits storm bars, casinos, and convenience stores. Gang members stomp rivals to death in the malls right in front of the Gap. If such crimes occur in plain sight in Las Vegas, I wondered, what unspeakable atrocities, what unpardonable sins take place in the city storm drains? Are there any rules? Is there any hope? The tunnel turned to the south, the cobwebs fluttered in the wind, and the stream, though only 2 inches deep, roared like the Colorado River. I continue up the slope, I narrated nervously into the mic. The footing is slick and visibility is low, about 10 feet tops. I have no idea who or what lurks in the shadows. Another ex-con, a group of meth freaks, a pack of wild dogs. What the hell am I doing here? The tunnel trended to the north, and the rectangle of light behind me began to close. The beam of the flashlight finally took form, unveiling graffiti scrawls and official markings on the walls. 12x8x6, 2-17-00, HCC. This section of the tunnel is 12 feet wide, 8 feet high, and 6 feet long. Its construction was completed on February 17, 2000, and it was made by the Hydro Conduit Corporation. About 300 feet into the drain, the roar of the stream softened, and I could hear the rush of above-ground traffic. I assumed I was under Bonanza Road, just north of U.S. Highway 95, but I was totally disoriented. Without daylight, the horizon, and depth perception, that could happen. A faint glow flickered behind me. Upstream, a drop inlet, commonly called a sewer, cast a rectangle of light on the floor, walls, and ceiling. I started toward the light, boots splashing rhythmically in the stream. The tunnel swung to the west, then straightened into perfect darkness. In the depths of the drain, yarn-like cobwebs hung from the walls and ceiling. What size spider created this dreadful tableau, I wondered. I dramatically decided it must have been the size of a compact car. Reaching behind my back, I unsheathed the baton, flicked the handle downward. The steel rod snapped into place. I inched upstream timidly, like a kid through a haunted house. A stray web tickled my face, causing me to flinch. Regaining my composure and curious about what Weber experienced in the drain, I cut off the flashlight. A black curtain fell in front of me. I felt for the wall with my free hand, then continued upstream. The concrete gnawed at my hand. I imagined Weber, 6'3" and 210 pounds, groping the walls, his bloody hands leaving perfect prints. He slammed into a lateral pipe. His breathing echoed in the tunnel. After slipping on algae, the back of his pants and shirt clung to his skin. He considered turning around, but realized that meant life in prison or the death sentence. Above ground, the police established a perimeter. They turned away